The Nick Holt Podcast.
My guest on today's program is a fine example of life imitating art. He was once Hercules on the number one television program in the world. Now he's embodying that role again and conquering a prodigious range of personal ventures, many of them with his wife, Sam. He's an actor, director, producer. He's launched Sorbo Cellars, offering fine wine and spirits. He's established Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative phone provider. And in 2025, he'll play tour guide with his lovely wife in the oldest holy sites on earth. Kevin Sorbo, thanks for coming on again.
Good to be here.
Tell me, what are you up to?
You know, busy. I've got four movies in post-production right now. Then I got two documentaries that'll be coming out soon. And you spoke of Israel. I was 3 weeks there earlier last year, obviously before the war started, going through archaeological digs, tracing the flow of the Ark of the Covenant. It was pretty fascinating. It's called The Quest for the Throne. And then I've got another documentary coming out Easter week here in America, dealing with the Last Supper. It's called Eating with the Enemy. And it's the same group of guys that I did a number one documentary 2 years ago on Amazon called Before the Wrath. And, you know, just staying busy. I got another movie that I'll be directing later this year. And I got a new book coming out sometime probably late summer, early fall. And, I don't like to sit around too long.
You're as busy as Trump. You're one of the busiest men I know.
I was just there at Mar-a-Lago last night and had a couple words with him. We were there for a charity auction. So I got a chance to meet him again. We got another event coming up this Saturday, which he'll be at as well.
He does a lot of those charity events there, doesn't he?
He does. Mar-a-Lago is his place of residence, and it's quite an amazing place. They also have quite a few events there, screenings for movies, dinners, charity event. I got to host a Lincoln Day dinner there a couple of years ago, which was quite fun. I was the MC of the event, and it was pretty cool. And I've golfed with him a few times through the years, and so he's a very entertaining guy.
I want to get to those documentaries in a little bit. What I'd like to do is talk about your move from Hollywood to becoming an independent filmmaker, but I'd like to go into a little bit more depth than perhaps you have on other programs, at least that I've seen.
All right.
You've spoken about basically you were kicked out of there for being conservative. I imagine that didn't happen overnight.
No, it did not. Well, things started changing, I think, around 2010, 2011. With all the social, media out there and everything, and the things I was posting, I wasn't posting the hatred. I don't post that kind of stuff. I was just posting, hey, why don't we look at this? Why don't we look at that? Why don't we have a different point of view of climate change, so to speak, which I call weather, by the way. And so there's this insanity going on right now because the press is pretty much dominated by the liberal side, the left side, and they seem to have full control over everything from goes through our education system all the way from preschool through the universities. When Bill Maher comes out and says, don't send your kids to American universities, that's saying a lot because he's more or less like a JFK Democrat. He's not really happy with how far left the left has become here, not only in America, but around the world. So I was warned by my wife even. She said, they're going to come after. I said, well, why can't I have a point of view? I'm not posting anger. I'm not posting hatred. She goes, well, sure enough, by about 2012, 2013, my manager and agent of many years said, we can't work with you anymore. And I kind of laugh. I said, you're the side that always wants to have, you scream for tolerance, you scream for freedom of speech, but they're hypocrites because we all know it's a one-way street with them, which is too bad. Because like I said, I don't harbor that kind of anger and hatred to somebody who has a different point of view. I think that's great. Freedom of speech is a good thing, but it's dying everywhere around the world right now. It's just dying out. And America is no different than other countries right now.
So it was mainly your social media content that led to this.
Oh, yeah, no question. Facebook took me down 3 years ago for posting the truth about COVID. I mean, they call it conspiracy theories. But, you saw what happened down in New Zealand and Australia. It was pretty crazy there as well, especially in Melbourne.
Crazy is an understatement.
Oh, my gosh. I know. But, now they've been proven completely wrong. Fauci even came out, the great Fauci came out and said, the 6 feet, separation of 6 feet was pretty much made up. Of course it was. And it's all about control. It's all about fear. And governments love using that as a weapon against, you know, the peons of the world like us. And in America, I think people keep forgetting it's called we the people. And we're supposed to be the ones with control. We don't. Washington, D.C. runs everything. And it's very corrupt on both sides. There's a lot of corruption on both sides. And it's quite sad. And, you know, voting in America is a joke. Mail-in voting. If we're going to have mail-in voting, we'll never have an honest election. I think they've been, I think elections have been stolen for decades here. It's just getting worse and worse now.
It's interesting, when I interviewed Carrie Lake last, she said, you need to realize that it's not the Democrats that stole these primaries off me. She said that the Democrats will do what they do. This was Rhino Republicans, deeply entrenched. So you're right, it is on both sides.
Yeah, it's spot on.
So basically like that, you were dropped by your agent and then the scripts stopped rolling in.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I love the industry for the craziness of it all, the insecurity of it all. But my wife and I formed Sorbo Studios, and through Sorbo Studios, we started, you know, working our butts off to raise money for the movies that we do. You know, we do movies in the 3 to 4 million range, which is catering budget, and Pirates of the Caribbean and Avengers and Spider-Man. Those are $300 million movies, and they'll spend $100 million on promotion. So
sure.
Other independent studios started coming to me and say, hey, we'd love you to work with you as well. So since I got the boot, I've shot, I would say at least 45 to 50 movies since then. I've shot over 80 in my career. They're not all great, but I like to stay busy, you know, but most of the movies I do now are really movies that Hollywood used to do, movies that had good messages in them. It doesn't have to be a faith-based movie, but movies that had maybe hope and love and redemption, a chance for second chances. I think that's the biggest thing in the world we're missing right now. I think people are looking for hope. They're looking for the more positive things, movies that can make you laugh, movies you can relate to, and that's what I'm going to keep on doing.
And that really is classic script writing, isn't it? That redemptive arc,
yeah,
that we want to see. I guess that leads me to a question. How do you perceive, I mean, you've worked heavily in both Hollywood and now independent, let's say Christian independent filmmaking.
Sure.
What fundamental differences do you see in terms of values and storytelling?
Well, I see Hollywood just going further and further, more woke. I mean, Disney's going to lose, I mean, on paper, it says $1.4 billion in loss. I think it's more than that, because people are just sick of the crap they're putting out there. People are getting tired of this force-fed agenda that they have. And I think Disney, if he was still alive today, he'd be pretty pissed off at what they've done to his name brand. And it's weird to me. It's weird. Why? Look, I did a movie called Let There Be Light. They came out in theaters about 5 years ago. It opened number two purse screen average against Thor Ragnarok. I mean, here was a $2.3 million movie against a $300 million movie. And I get a call from Netflix and say, hey, we know that you got a strong foot in this family and faith sort of world. We like to open an inspirational division here at Netflix. So I had four meetings with them over the next few months in their offices there in Hollywood. And ultimately, nothing happened. And on the last meeting, I said, guys, there's 80 million homes in America that want the kind of movies I do. And yet you scream the values of socialism and communism, which is crazy to me. But you're a capitalist business. You've made your billions on capitalism. So why wouldn't you want to do that? But their ideology is so entrenched in them. And I could tell in half that room, there's about 12 people from Netflix in that room. Half of those people agree with me, but they're afraid to speak up. The last 6-7 years, I always get at least one person, if not more, during that 5-6 week shooting on the set, comes up to me privately and says, hey, thanks for being a voice for us. And so I know that they're conservative. I go, well, be a voice for yourself. But they're afraid. They're afraid they get blacklisted like I did, and they probably would. And that's just sad to me. It's weird to me.
It was a good film, too. I enjoyed that.
It was a great movie. It did very, very well. Yeah, it had about a 4-month run in theaters. It did very well.
And you've got Miracle of East Texas, which...
Yep.
I was running around to try and find where to watch in Australia, but
I know you can't find it anywhere. I'm trying to find it.
It's a real shame, because it's got something like 97-98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
True story, set in 1930, and it's about the largest oil find in the world. And really, we promote it as a comedy. There's a lot of funny stuff in there. written by Dan Gordon. Dan Gordon's an Oscar-nominated writer. He wrote The Hurricane for Denzel Washington, Whiter of Kevin Costner, and he wrote 60 episodes of Michael Landon's Highway to Heaven. Great, great guy. He's actually over in Israel right now. He's Israeli, he's Jewish, and he's over there doing a documentary on the war over there right now. He sent me a bunch of pictures at the front, and I go, dude, you guys, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Has your, I mean, I don't know you well enough, but coming from Hollywood, has this journey now with your wife to become a prolific Christian independent filmmaker, has that sort of reinforced your commitment to faith and an artistic vision?
Yeah. I mean, I don't go around preaching the gospel all the time, so it makes me kind of a bad Christian. I don't say I'm a perfect person in any way, but I have a belief. I've always had a belief. I figured somebody started all this, and it wasn't me or you. But you look at the Irwin brothers, the Kendrick brothers, all these guys putting out these wonderful movies like War Room and I Can Only Imagine. And there's a lot of production companies out there doing that. I don't want to do every movie and say it's a Christian movie. I mean, I look at this
sure.
one. Miracle in East Texas had a very light faith element to it. But the message is still in there, but it's just a good movie. And I call these actors scripts. I call them the movies that, like I said, Hollywood used to with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn and Jimmy Stewart, movies that had characters maybe you could relate to, or people that you're like that yourself. Movies that just had a positive thing. John Wayne, you know, was always a good defeating evil. We started celebrating the anti-hero back in the 60s. I think a lot of it was with, you know, the assassination years of JFK and RFK and Martin Luther King and the hippie movement and rock and roll movement and Vietnam War, all these things. And we started celebrating the negative, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And it's weird. And I'm just trying to go back to what Hollywood used to do and do movies that have a positive message.
It's a very interesting point you make there, Kev, because off the top of my head is the great Francis Assisi quote, always preach the gospel, only use words if you absolutely have to.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Well, you look what Hollywood used to do, from Ben-Hur to the Ten Commandments, the Bible. They did movies that sort of dealt with that. And look what they did with, you look at Noah. They came out the same year my movie God's Not Dead came. And Noah, with Russell Crowe, they made Noah a psycho, schizophrenic, hell-bent on killing his family after the whole water thing, you know, everything was done. And you're like, and we went to the premiere. We got invited to Paramount Lot to see it before it came out in theaters. And my wife, halfway through, she goes, this isn't the story of Noah. It's Waterworld meets Transformers. And she's not wrong. It was just... And it opened huge because of the faith world wanted to see it. But I said, you wait, it's going to drop like 60% next weekend due to bad word of mouth. It dropped like 67% from 1 week to week two because people said, yeah. And they hired an atheist director to do it. And I said, why wouldn't you hire a Jewish director? You know, hire someone who's a believer in the Old Testament on the story of Noah. I thought that was just kind of weird, but it's all done on purpose. It's a very strange outlook that's going on out there. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I still look at our education system in America. It is absolutely horrific. And we're just brainwashing kids from day one, and it's getting worse and worse. Homeschooling has exploded here in America. COVID opened the eyes of many families. Two million more families are now homeschooling after they saw really how bad our public schools are. And they said, it's enough using our public schools as a babysitting service for our kids. Let's get them out of here.
So when you see things like that, I mean, I'm an eternal optimist when it comes to civilization, because I've seen the rise and fall and rise and fall and rise and fall.
Sure.
Do you see stuff like that and think we're on track? We're heading back on track.
I think we've reached a tipping point. I think more and more people are fighting back. More and more lies came out about the COVID. That you know that the masks were useless. There's no proof of that. The 6 feet was ridiculous. The COVID shots have been killing people left and right. And we have, in America alone, it's something like 800% more deaths in 25 years and younger. You know, people dropping dead on the basketball or on the gridiron or whatever it may be. And this heart, everything's this myocarditis with the heart. And all these things are coming out now. So I posted on Twitter about a year ago, I said, I need more conspiracy theories because all mine keep coming true. So
you and I were talking about this in February 2021. And we'd already been talking about it for a year.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. And, you know, I think you're right. I think there's a tipping point. People are saying enough is enough. And there's a bigger vocal comeback right now. I'm not the only one doing this. There's a lot of people now out there saying, look what they've done. We've been duped and people are mad.
Yes, 100%. I go to a group fitness down here and people from all ages there. And you know, many of them much older and much fitter than I am. But there was a 55-year-old woman, really nice. And we were talking and, we got onto COVID and she had a deep sense of regret, remorse, and anger that they made her take that vaccine.
Of course.
And I think that's a positive thing.
Like, oh, yeah.
I don't have a problem with the people. I have a problem with the government.
The government, exactly. That's where the problem is. I mean, the whole idea of the founding fathers in America were to not have a big government. They wanted the people. It's we the people, as I mentioned earlier. And, you know, Jefferson wrote about separation of church and state. It's not in our Constitution, but he wrote it to keep government out of the churches. And the Democrats have flipped that around over the last 30, 40 years. And they now say, no, it's about that, you know, churches are supposed to stay out of the government and the government's supposed to be able to control the churches. And that's what they're trying to do. Saw it in Canada like crazy. They're arresting pastors left and right there as well, burning down churches. I think over 400 churches in Canada were burned to the ground.
Yeah, they were doing that here.
We got angry people out there, man. These are lost people. And they don't want to take it out on you. They want to take it out on me, thinking that their anger towards you and me is going to make them feel better about themselves. But these are people who don't like themselves. They hate what they see in the mirror. And it's unfortunate.
Totally. 100%. Yeah, 100%. They're very... there's some kind of rage inside of them that they don't understand.
Yeah. Well, their lives didn't turn out the way they wanted, right? They don't have the job they want. They don't have the relationship they want. You know, most of them are probably from broken homes, abusive homes. I think there's a common denominator in there. There's no count. I'm not a psychologist, but I think I'm taking a pretty good stab at the problem. And they don't have God in their life. They have no hope, you know?
But, you know, I mean, there's people here. A lot of them are quite well off, these 18, 19, 21-year-olds that are screaming at me for being the problem of Aboriginals. And I'm like, you're white as well. It's just nuts. But I see it turning. I was on Elijah Schaefer's show on Saturday and we were talking about, you know, has wokeness come to an end? And I think something like wokeness, which I just call pure irrationality and insanity, it's got to be finite. There's only so much they can do. Do you agree?
Oh, it's got to, I mean, come on. It's what they're doing. You look at states like California, which we escaped 5.5 years ago. We live in the free state of Florida. I never wore a mask in this state. The only time I had to wear a mask is when I had to go on an airplane, which I thought was just a joke anyway. But so many people are moving into this state. Texas, people are flooding to Texas, Tennessee, and Florida. We're averaging 1,000 people a day over the last like 3 years moving into these states. The growth down here is just crazy. And it just shows you when California has lost 7 million people have moved out in the last 10 years. What does that show you? And you got a governor there who just because he's a good looking dude with nice hair. They're like, oh, well, I'm still vote for him. You know, and he's the dictator of that state. And he broke every single rule of COVID. And it was OK for him to go out to dinners with his friends and not wear a mask. I mean, it was just so stupid what we did and what happened. And people just fall into it. And a lot of people are sheep. I'm here to wake up the lions. The sheep are going to be sheep and they're going to fall in line. They're brainwashed and they don't really. I think when more and more worse things happen, and unfortunately, we're going to have some bad stuff happen in America. We've let 10 million people across the border since Biden was president.
Wild.
When Trump was in office, 1.4 million in 4 years. 10 million. We don't know who they all are. We don't know anything. And yet we're giving them a cell phone. We're giving them debit cards to use. We're giving them free education, free medical. What? You got a family of four working their, you know, dad, mom working their ass off to make $60,000 a year. And their kids can't afford to go to universities, which I don't want them to go anyway. But we're giving free education to these people that are coming to the country illegally. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. They're already saying, let's make them all Democrats, right? Oh, they go, oops, let's just give them all the right to vote. Well, they know that they're going to vote for Democrats. Democrats give them free shit. And that's all they care about.
They've built a constituency and it's a new way. It's a new type of election fraud.
Well, we're going to have, you think 9/11 is bad? We're going to have 50 9/11s on the same day one of these years, the next couple of years, because a lot of these people coming across the border are terrorists as well. They've already estimated 800,000 are terrorists. It's just, and you're going, and we're still letting them in. We let people, there was a great segment on the news up in New York City, one of the big stations there. They're interviewing this guy. I don't know who he was, what his deal was, but he's talking. They're talking about the rampant crime in New York City, where we're letting people go into stores. They can steal up to just below $1,000 worth of stuff. Who's keeping track of that if they're grabbing 500 Versace suits or something? And they're running out, and they don't get stopped. And the guy said, oh, I've already interviewed quite a few of them. They sell those things on the street. They go to Florida, spend the money, and then they come back up here. And the newscaster said, why don't they just stay in Florida and steal in Florida? He said, well, I asked them that. And they all said, well, can't do it here. We'll go to jail here.
It's extraordinary.
And it just froze these people. They didn't know what they went, oh, okay. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. We're letting people, the crime rate's insane. We got people doing drugs everywhere, taking craps in the middle of the sidewalks all over San Francisco. It's just stupid what we're doing.
So one thing I'm slightly concerned about is that, you know, I've believed from day one that Trump will be a two-term president. And I think the 2020 election clearly was stolen. He's so popular. His popularity just keeps going through the roof, and people can't understand. And I'm just like, just look at his rallies. Just tune into one of his rallies, and you got to wonder, after everything they've done, what else are they going to do to try and stop him?
They've been trying to stop him since 2015. Here's the weird thing. Before he announced running for president, they all loved him. The left loved him. Saturday Night Live wanted him on. Talk shows wanted him. He was always, they loved him. The minute he picked a side, because the power of the press on the left, they just went after him. So all these people, I know people down there, and I know friends in New Zealand that just say, well, he's an asshole. I'm going, what policies of his are you aware of? I even asked people here, what policies of his did you hate? Well, he's a jerk. Okay, that's not a policy. What policies did you hate? Did you hate that he made us energy independent? We didn't need to have oil from anybody. We have so much oil in America, up in Alaska and Texas and Oklahoma. And yet, let's get rid of that. And so we can spend triple the amount per gallon gasoline by buying oil from countries in the Middle East that hate us. We fund our own wars against ourselves. It's absolutely insane. I said he made black unemployment, they call him a racist. He made black unemployment the lowest it's ever been in our country. He made Hispanic unemployment the lowest it's ever been. He made us free. He had a border that was safe. All these things. But the press is so good at attacking him every single day. So all these people grow up, and people over in your country and everybody else go, well, he's a jerk. They know nothing about this guy. They know nothing about what he did.
You've just got to absolutely pepper them with statistics. Like, you know, I just say, look, so you don't like the fact that he helped 40,000 homeless vets find jobs?
Yeah.
Are you against that?
Yeah.
You know, or what, same day mental health care for veterans?
Yep.
Are they, you know what I mean? And they just sort of implode.
Well, the list goes on and on what he's done. And he made the country better for everybody. But even the Democrats and the really crazy far super left don't want to admit the fact they had more money in their bank account than they do now.
Which is insane. This is why someone like me, to Bill Maher to me, is just completely riddled with Trump derangement syndrome. He'd rather earn less money and despise Trump. That's one thing that he can't get past, you know. Like, it's like this, it's malignant.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. It's a mental illness, I think.
I think it is too. Now let's just quickly jump, because I want to talk to you about Sorbo Sellers. The reason that I want to talk to you about that is because I'm a very big lover of tequila, and I saw you had a bottle there. But you've also got an extraordinary range of wines there.
Yeah.
Tell me about this project.
Well, you know, the guys that approached me years ago, I wanted to put this together, and it's been years in the making. And I love wines as well. I'm a big fan of tequila as well. And they wanted to do Sorbo Cellars with me. They are fans of the work I've done, the fans of what kind of product I put out there. And so it finally just released. People can go to sorbocellars.com, get information on that. And we got a lot more things coming up soon. In fact, I got to post a couple more videos about it later this week. But it's been interesting, and it's been a lot of fun. We got wines from all around the world, including where you're from, and it's going to keep on going. And these guys behind it are powerful people. They've been doing it for decades, and they talk about knowing their wines. They know their wines. I've had a pretty fast education about that world, and it's been interesting. So we'll see what happens with it. But it's just another venture I'm involved with. So there's a couple of the businesses I've signed on now to be a spokesperson for them, and I'm about to be a spokesman person for a gold and silver company here pretty soon as well.
Yeah, no, good idea. I think that's going to be pretty crucial. Gold and silver.
Yeah.
And Rise Up Tennessee. This is a sort of a Comic Con sort of thing, is it?
Look, the Comic Cons I've been doing the last 5-6 years, half the people that come to my table now say they came here only to meet me. They don't care about the other actors. You got really some wonderful actors there with big movies. And they said, we don't like the secular stuff that Hollywood's doing, but we like your movies like God's Not Dead, What If, Soul Surfer, Let There Be Light, Miracle in East Texas. So I started to put half my table now has 8x10s of those movies. And I started thinking a couple years ago, you know what, why is there not a faith and family Comic-Con type show? And a guy that does Comic-Cons in the Midwest, you know, he does them in Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Tennessee and stuff. He calls me up and he says the same thing I've been saying. And I said, dude, that's what I want to do. So we put this together. It's called Rise Up Con. People can go to riseupcon.com. I don't know if they want to make the long trek from Australia or something to do this, but it's they can go online. They'll recognize a lot of people. You know, John Schneider, Dean Cain is on there. A lot of the writers that do all these movie production people. We got Patriot Mobile's one of our hosts. Moms for America, big host as well. We got a golf charity golf event we're going to be doing. It's just a different sort of con. It's just a con that families can be safe going to. We got the charity golf events going to be great. We're going to screen 4 movies, kind of a miniature film festival as well. And it's just, I don't know, it's coming together great. We're getting more and more people involved every single day, which has been fantastic.
Great. Maybe if you have just a little bit more time to talk about those documentaries you mentioned at the start.
Well, I've been doing a lot of them lately. I've done about 9 or 10 of these now. I just finished a 5-part miniseries on the life of Jesus, and we shot it on the set of The Chosen, which is kind of taking the world by storm. And I think the first one I did was called Exodus, Proof of Evidence, where I narrated this guy from my home state of Minnesota. He spent 10 years in Egypt through archaeological digs to prove that the Exodus actually happened. With Moses and Ramses, all that. And it's a really interesting look at it. And then I did one in Israel with John Lennox. John Lennox is a huge apologist, retired math professor from Oxford University, brilliant guy. We shot 3 weeks in Oxford, 2 weeks in Israel, and it's called Against the Tide, Proving God in the World of Science. And so these most recent ones are just a really amazing journey into the disciples in the Last Supper. And I love the title, Eating with the Enemy. And I think people get, it's education, you know? I mean, you mentioned earlier about the Israel. I mean, I try to take a group of 80 people every year to Israel. And this year we had to cancel it because of the war. Because it was we always do it in May. Because May is a great time to do it. The weather's absolutely perfect. And so we're doing it again in 2025. We did it last year, of course, as well. And it's called Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. And I would say a good 25% of people that come are agnostic or atheist, but they know that Jesus existed. Even the biggest, well-known atheists like a Hitchens or a Dawkins or a Singer, they don't deny that there was a man named Jesus that lived at that time. So to me, it's a very interesting look at history. And every time I go there, I learn a lot more new things, and it's just fascinating. So that one's called The Quest for the Throne. That'll probably come out next fall. I still have a little bit of we have a couple of interviews to finish at the University of Houston in Texas, and then I've got some narration I have to finish on as well. But we're cruising along with them. They're great. It's a lot of fun. And I don't know. The whole world of documentaries, I never thought I'd be part of that. It's just like speaking events. I mean, I do, since 2012, my first book came out, True Strength, I do about 10 to 15 speaking events a year over the last 11 years. It's been amazing. I've got like 7 already lined up for this year. So I got leave for Dallas soon to do one. Then I'm going to Helena, Montana. I got one in L.A. And actually, I got a movie coming out in August called The Firing Squad. It's a true story about a prisoner that got life sentence for murder in his 20s. And he became a believer. And he starts, he's the next 30 years of his life before he was executed, he was preaching to other prisoners and saved a lot of souls in there. So it's a pretty interesting. I like true stories.
Well, it's so awesome and so inspiring to hear everything that you're doing in your life at the moment, mate. And I really appreciate you coming on the program today.
Well, thanks. I'd love everybody to go to sorbostudios.com. If you go to sorbostudios.com and sign up, we can get you a lot more information and things coming down the pipeline.
Sorbostudios.com.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, mate.
Cool.
The Nick Holt Podcast.